We are so thankful to be here and to be in Bakersfield and to be here at Grace Bible Church of Bakersfield. This church has been such an encouragement to us and to our ministry. And Pastor Steve and I were classmates at the Master's Seminary, and he asked all the good questions. I just listened. I learned from what the teachers would tell him. He came to the seminary with ministry experience and already had a lot of questions of how church should be and how it should look like, and I was the young one trying to understand all of those things. And I'm so thankful that God sent him here to a revitalization back then. And about the same time God sent Pastor Steve here, he sent our family to Brazil for a church plant. And so I like to come here, and you guys are always a step ahead. And so by God's grace, I get to look and I get to see the effects of faithful preaching, faithful teaching, effects of investing in the lives of families, children, and be able to look and actually see tangible evidence of what fruitful ministry looks like. And so it's always a joy when we come here and we get to see how God continues to grow his church here in Bakersfield. We're the Stuckey family. And so here's a picture, and you can see the live version around the church today or later on tonight. My name is Mark. My wife is Jessica. And God has blessed us with three sons. So we have Samuel, who's our oldest. He's 10 years old. And James, who's our middle guy, he's 7. And Benjamin is number 3, and he's 4 years old. God saved me at a young age on the mission field, and my grandparents were missionaries, and my parents came back as missionaries, and so I got to grow up, and I got to see the gospel being lived out before me on a daily basis. I'm so thankful for the legacy of my grandparents and then of my parents as well. My grandparents are with the Lord now, and my parents, as you guys will see, are serving alongside of us, which is a huge answer to prayer and a blessing that was unexpected over these last 3 years. God saved my wife in her high school days, and we met at the Master's College, now the university, and we got married after she graduated, and then went on to seminary and then on to Brazil. We are now going to celebrate 10 years as missionaries in Brazil. So it's a good time to look back and a good time to look forward and see what God has for us. For each of our kids here, a little bit getting to know them. Samuel, he's very creative, and he loves the Legos, and he loves innovating with them. And so he's done a little bit of that at the Owilers this week, making some ships and stuff. But it's fun to see the creative side. He is also a musician and a huge blessing to see how God has gifted him in that way. And he plays for our church faithfully and for other moments as well. God gave us a wonderful teacher, piano teacher, that really helped. He's on to his next instrument, so now it's guitar. And he enjoys that, and he's learning that as well. And then soccer. He took on the good Brazilian soccer side of things, and so we love being outdoors, and we love playing soccer together. And he was sporting a good Brazil jersey yesterday for the missions time together. James, he's our gamer, but not online gaming. He likes actual games, right? So like the table games and stuff, and that'll light up his face. So we enjoy having lots of those games. And then he likes reading, so he'll find any place to sit himself down. And he's done plenty of reading at the Owilers as well, and our favorite dragon books. So if you guys don't know the dragon books, you got to go to the Owilers. So he's been reading those. And then he loves the pets and the animals. And we had two little hamster things, guinea pigs. See, I don't know what these, I should call Jess up. We had potato and chips, okay? And we enjoyed them for the 3 months that we had them. But it wasn't James's fault, okay? So if we were all James's, I think they would, you know, still be among us. But that's our pet experience. Benjamin, he's the adventurous one. And anything he finds, he climbs. And he does a good job at it. Yeah, he's got a death grip, which is good, because sometimes he's just hanging there, and he'll just like, Dad, you know, nice and calm. Yes. And I'm like, okay. So he'll climb anything. He loves to help around the kitchen. He already helped Grandma Kathy make chocolate chip cookies. And so he's always finding ways. And then anything sweet, he'll eat. So poor guy, he and I were sick, and the rest of the family got to go to Knott's Berry Farm. You'd think he'd be worried about having fun, right? No, no. He's worried about what snacks they got. So we had to have a phone call so that he knew he wasn't missing out on all the good snacks. Last night he was worried once again what snacks would be available. I said, it's dinner. No, no, what snacks? They're different. So he loves all the sweet stuff. So where do we serve, get you guys situated again? There's a map of Brazil. We think of continental U.S. up and down, so that's distance-wise. And we are way down in the southernmost state, Rio Grande do Sul, and we're in the greater Porto Alegre area, which would be the capital city of our state down there. I grew up way up in the northeast, Fortaleza. I don't know if there's a pointer, but way up on the top right corner, you might be able to read the word Fortaleza. So it's a totally different area for me as well. The southernmost state is the most needy in terms of gospel preaching, has the least number of evangelical churches. It also is one of the strongest places for Spiritism. And the Spiritism in the south is actually one that was imported from Europe, and so it's among the higher levels of society. So it's very acceptable, and it's actually kind of an honorable thing to be part of Spiritism. So it's very common to interact with people who are Spiritists. And in that sense, there's definitely some spiritual warfare, and that's been new for me. I don't think we see much of that context here in the States, and so that's been a learning experience as well for us in the southern part of Brazil. So as we zoom in on our state, we're in the outskirts of Porto Alegre, so you see the big star there, Porto Alegre being the capital, and we're in Sapiranga. Our city is known for that mountain range, and people like to do hang gliding and all those extreme sports. Found out it was the most deadly sport, so I used to invite people to come do that. I don't do that anymore. But we still go up there because it's a pretty cool view, and you can watch other people do it. So that's our city, around 80,000 people, and we're in the Vale do Sino. So when I refer to our region, I'm referring to what's down here on the right corner, the Vale do Sino. So you can see we're up top there, Sapiranga, and as you move down, the bottom one there, Canoas, so that's right next to the capital, Porto Alegre. So think of I don't know, if you think of L.A., start working your way out, and we'd be like Castaic. We'd be one of the last ones as you work your way away from that. So more densely populated in the light blue area, and then less densely populated in the darker blue area. So as we look back and we look forward, we want to rejoice with you on what God has done. So as our family, these are the three furloughs that we've had, so you might have caught us on one of those stages there, but Samuel and James, and then Ben came along, and now we got the three growing up fast. In terms of our team, we never work alone. We understand how important it is to have people around us and to have gifting that complements, right, each other. And so we need people that have different kinds of gifting so that we can have a complete team. And so back when we started the church plant in 2022, this was our missionary team. So on the top left corner there, on the right is Katie, and she's a single missionary lady who does an amazing job with all of the kids' ministries. Ellie, who helps with all of the women's ministries as well as children's ministry too. She's the veteran on our team who's been there the longest. And then in the middle is a Brazilian missionary that worked with us in the beginning of the church plant, and that's Diego and Vanessa and their two kids, Noah and Julia. Diego's the gift of faith. I'm the gift of breaks. And so that was an excellent combination for the beginning of the church plant. and then our family there. We had a missionary intern named Amanda. She's the one there behind James. And God blessed that internship. She married someone in our church, and now she is our children's director. And so if we can have that happen again with all of our interns, that would be wonderful. So fast forward to the present, 2025. Our team, God sent Jago and Vanessa on to the next city, and I'll show you guys that, Dois Irmãos, to plant a church, and they are doing an amazing job. And so God provided my parents in the bottom right corner to take their place. And God knows he's got his perfect timing and everything. And my dad obviously has a lot of missionary experience. His gifting is in helping organize a church, training and discipling leaders, investing in future pastors. And so God brought my parents right when we needed it. And one of our prayer requests constantly is that God brings the right people at the right time for his church. And so having my dad alongside of me during this phase, and as we will see, God has grown the church, and we're in the phase of establishing all the ministries of the church and training up these leaders and pastors. And so he has had a foundational role in that. We continue with Ellie and Katie, who continue being a huge blessing for the church. And we have a new intern that arrived this year, and that's Lisa. She's the one wearing green, and we're really excited to see what God has for her. She has actually led someone to Christ within her first 2 weeks, which is totally unheard of. So praise the Lord for the way God's already opening doors and allowing her to serve so effectively in our absence. We are so thankful that God has provided a home for us, and the way it ended up is the garage is down below, and then our house is over the top, and we took that garage, and we divided it in half and made a suite in the bottom, and that's where we've been hosting these interns. And so it wasn't really planned, but now it is, and so God keeps bringing people to serve with us. And so Lisa's one who's now living there in that special room. It's also our guest room. So when you guys come to visit us, we just kick her out. She goes to Ellie and Katie's house, and then you get the guest room. So we want to show what God has done in the church plant. And this is testimony to God's faithfulness, God's greatness and his goodness. This is not because we are something special, but it's because God has been so kind. And as we'll see later on, this has not been the case for many of the other missionaries in our area. But by God's grace, he has chosen to pour his favor upon our church plant. So this is 2018, and this is one of our very first services in our garage, okay? And that's before we divided the garage so that we could now host the missionary interns. But that's how it started. So what we do is, in the city, we start with evangelistic Bible studies in the homes, and as we get a group, and as God saves, then we start bringing them together, and we met in our garage, in our home, and every Tuesday night, we would have that Bible study until we had a core group of 10 families, and then we launched with our evening service. There, the main service is Sunday evening, and so in August of 2018, we had our first Sunday evening service with around 20 people there in our garage. Since then, every 3 years, so 2021 was our last furlough, and we had then moved to a rented facility, and that picture up above there was the group growing to about 30 people, and then the last picture, 2024, was our church anniversary last year, and you can see what God has done growing his church through salvation, and also people who had given up on the church, thinking there was no such thing as a good church, slowly coming and finding their way to us. So we praise the Lord for the growth that he has brought. So what does that look like in practical terms here? By God's grace, today the church has an average attendance of 90 to 100 people and around 50, well, not around, we have 58 members who are part of our church. The picture there is from our Sunday, our Christmas service this past Christmas, and it was a joy. We had over 135, so we basically maxed out our current space with people coming to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so we praise the Lord for that. At the beginning of this year, we brought on 10 ministry leaders, and they are the ones doing the work of the ministry and heading up each of the ministries, and we'll be looking at those. So we're thankful for that. And we have two pastors in training. We have Undasol and Leo, and we are looking forward to see what God will do and how God will continue to work through their lives. Undasol already finished seminary. Leo, who's the bottom picture, he is in his last year of seminary, and he has a real heart for our area. He grew up in our area, and he has a heart for church planting or revitalization, so he might be one of the first ones we can send out to help with a neighboring church plant or a revitalization. Our children's ministry, it's interesting. In the northeast part of Brazil, you start a church with kids. Like, you have tons of kids, and that's usually the bulk of the church. In the south, it is very hard. We were told that it would be impossible to have basically a kids ministry, that the parents are extremely protective of their children, and so you have to win the confidence of the parents to then have access to the kids, to then maybe, you know, do something with the kids. And we're so thankful that God has brought families to the church and has grown the children's ministry, and so now we have four classes. I remember in the rented facility in 2021, we didn't even have a wall. We didn't have a wall that would go all the way up. It was a wall that went, like drywall that went partial way up. And so I would be preaching on one side of the wall and the kids would be on the other side of the wall. And so to think that now we have these four classrooms with around 25 kids and 23 servants. So we're training, and Ellie and Katie have a big role in that, is training all of these new Sunday school teachers. So if you do your math, 58 members, 23 serving in Sunday school, and we got most of the church investing in the next generation at this point. So here's what some of our classrooms look like, and that's been, it's been fun. I love kids. I love all the families. We just launched this year the Escola Biblica, which would be like your BTI, Bible Training Institute. I might have got the idea from Grace Bible Church. but seeing how important it is as the church grows to have that firm foundation in doctrine, Undasol, who's our pastor in training, is the one heading that ministry up. And we're thankful for 12 students who are excited. They have homework just like you guys. And so this is new. This is new for our area. And so we're excited to do that within the church and watch each of these. We've been trying to encourage all ministry leaders to go through the Escola Biblica. Our home groups or community groups or Bible study groups, we continue with those on a weekly basis. And twice a year, we get everyone together, and that's what that picture is. And we're eating together, and we have that time of fellowship together. So usually we have one book study of the Bible, and then we have one based on the sermon and application to the sermon. The youth group also started recently, and we have 3 youth leaders and around 15 kids, and so that also has been good, and seeing how God is slowly growing each one of the ministries. And our prayer is that as the church grows, there's that same proportional growth in every ministry. I think that indicates healthy growth so that we have all ages represented and all who are involved. And thankfully, youth group is very, very active and helps immensely in all that we do as a church. And you can be praying. 3 of the main guys, they got called to the army. And that normally doesn't happen. I don't know why. When you turn 18, and then you have to enlist, and normally they never call you. But this year, they called over 200 just from our city. I don't know why. I don't know if there's like a secret war that we don't know about or what's going on, but 3 of ours who are very involved in the youth group all had to go, and they're gone for a whole year. So it was a little bit of a shock, right, for the youth group. But They're still going strong, and we keep them in prayer. We started Awana last year, and so the year before it, we did what we called Adventure Club, and also, well, it's not the same material. We just stole the name and stole the concept of it, and we did that to try to launch something for kids with the idea of Awana, which is in Portuguese already. And so our Adventure Club was 2 years ago, and we did it once a month, and through that, we grew this base of this group of kids so that we could launch Awana last year. And so we're up to 35 kids, and this is amazing. Like, it's really hard to reach kids, so this is absolutely amazing. We've had open doors in the public schools around us, so we have 3 schools that we hand out invitations to, so we'll hand out over 600 invitations just at the door of the school. The kids come flooding out, and we're just going as fast as we can, handing out the invitations. Yesterday, we just had one of the children accept Christ. His name is Felipe, so that was really exciting to receive that news. And that couple is the one heading up Awana. So they got thrown under the bus pretty quick, you know, like I was the Awana leader last year. He's the Awana leader this year. You know, he kind of gave me the deer in the headlights look, like, what do you mean you're leaving? I said, I'll be back, but you're in charge. You can do it. And they're doing an outstanding job ever since February when we launched again for this year. Missions, we believe that needs to be in the DNA from the church right from the start. And so we also have a missions department, and 12 people serve on that. And we have tried to embrace as much as possible and help with the missionaries around us. The 5 missionaries that we support, the Brazilians, there are 2 that are close by. And so on the picture on the left is Taquara. And so we've helped that missionary. That was a kids' event that we took a group and helped with. The one down below is in São Leopoldo, and so the missionary needed help during his absence. He had to make a trip, so we went a few times helping them. That's still a home Bible study. The one up above there is Uruguayana, so that Brazilian missionary is on the border of Brazil and Argentina, so he's a little bit further away. So that was our very first missions trip as a church. And it was exciting. It was a little bit crazy, but it was exciting. We slept in an Assemblies of God church. I don't know how all the connections worked out so that we could have somewhere to sleep, but we ended up sleeping there. And then we worked in a public school the whole time, and we had 2 conversions, and those 2 kids are still walking with the Lord, and they're part of this beginning church plant. So that was exciting to be part of. And then we have a Brazilian missionary who found a place that was more spiritually dead than our southern state, and that is Uruguay. So he is a missionary in Uruguay, and that is definitely a post-Christian country. I didn't know what that meant until he started explaining. And you aren't even allowed to mention the Bible or anything in school. And his son, who is James's age, right, Jess? Jean? Yeah. His son made his own Bible drawing pictures. Okay, so think of a 7-year-old, and he drew a few pictures of, like, Bible stories, and he was so excited to take it to school to show his teacher. And so the missionaries decided, no, that's fine. You know, what are they going to do with a 7-year-old? Well, he came, and he showed it, and he said, look, teacher, look, I made my own Bible. And she immediately got it, and she tucked it away and said, those things you can't show here. So it's a whole different level of darkness in that sense, of what you can do and can't do. So as we look at our region again, these are the different church plants through our mission with other missionaries. And so I wanted to show you and explain a little bit of how hard our area is. It is called the Graveyard of Pastors and Missionaries. And I must admit that during our first term, I think at least 5 pastors or missionaries left the field for various reasons. It is a very difficult place. The first church that our mission planted was in Campo Bom. You can see that number 1 right there in the middle. And so Campo Bom, when we went to Brazil in 2015 as new missionaries, we went to that church plant and helped for a year, but we were already living in Sapiranga, which was our goal. That church plant no longer exists. It closed last November. And so there isn't a church in Campo Bom anymore. So various reasons for that, but showing a little bit of how hard it is. Number two is Estancia Velha. So if you go to the left there, you can see Estancia Velha. And that church is over 10 years old, and it has about 20 to 25 people, and it's still struggling as well, and no longer has a missionary there. And so that would be one of our first churches that we would like to help from ours, training up someone and sending him there if God will preserve that group there. Number three is down at the bottom there in São Leopoldo. That church also, church plant, has been over 10 years. I think it's close to 15 years now. And there is a missionary family. There is a single missionary from ABWE who's a partnering mission. And they are still in their home. And I'm not sure if they've ever gone over 15 people. So also hard. But they are continuing to try. And that's one that we've also helped at. Number four is our Sapiranga up there in the middle, and God has been extremely gracious, like I've said, bringing conversion, bringing growth, and so we praise the Lord for that. If you look way over on the right-hand tip, you'll get number five, and that's Taquara. That happened after ours. Unfortunately, that missionary wasn't able to stay, and so that church is back to a home Bible study with around 15 people as well. Last year, we were helping do that Bible study on a weekly basis for the entire year, so trying to be a support there. Thankfully, an ABWE missionary who's a third generation like me, he moved close by to a city close by, and so he's taken that Bible study this year to continue working with those people. Some of them will come on Sundays to our service, and we try to encourage them. We don't want them to become disillusioned or upset with what church could be or should be. And then the last one is number six, and that's up top in the middle there. Number six is Dois Irmãos, and that is Pastor Diego, who helped plant Sapiranga, and then he moved on and planted Dois Irmãos. That church is amazing of what God's doing there, too. Praise the Lord. So Sapiranga and Dois Irmãos are two churches. We love to do a lot of things together. We're pretty close to each other. Dois Irmãos is up on the mountain. We're on the bottom. And so geographically, it kind of separates us, but by car, it's 15, 20 minutes, so it's not very far. And God is doing amazing things. 2 weeks ago, they had baptism, and they had over 150 people come to their baptism, majority being non-believers. And it's amazing to see how God is saving and transforming them and that city. Diego, because he doesn't have all his support, is a chemistry teacher in the public school system. And so he's used that as an avenue for witnessing, and people have come to Christ through that as well. So they're about the same size as Sapiranga. They're 3 years old. We're 5 years old as a church. So as a church, we see our responsibility of trying to help reach our whole region and help all these other missionaries and church plants that are really struggling and try to encourage them. We also do sports outreach, and this has been really fun and a very effective way of witnessing. And so we have soccer. That's actually our secret one. So it's not announced in church. No one knows about it except for the people who go, because they wanted it to be mainly non-believers. So they have like three believers from the church, and then they have all non-believers, and they're reaching out to them. The other one is beach volleyball, and that one's for all ages, all families. So kids play in the sandbox, the adults are playing volleyball. And it's great to watch non-believers bring their non-believing friends and break down all those barriers of what they think a Christian is like until they start playing volleyball with you and they realize that it's not all the preconceptions they had of who they thought we would be and what we would be doing. Mercy Ministry is another big one that we had, and we still have. If you guys followed the news, we had some of the biggest flooding. We had the most flooding in the history of our state. It was very intense, and it affected, what'd you say, 90% of the counties in our state. So this is flooding that reached the entire state, and the worst parts of it were in Porto Alegre area. So we adopted a church there that was, the water went all the way up to the projector. That's why the walls are all wet. So even to this day, humidity, water is still coming out of the walls. But we helped clean. I don't know if you can imagine, but so this city, Canoas, it was underwater for 60 days. And so you think of sewer, you think of chemical plants, you think of a big city, and think of the entire city being underwater for 60 days. So that's why we're wearing the big puffy suits and other things to try to protect, you know, obviously illness, disease, it was high risk. For a while, it was dangerous to even go. I mean, people would try to go and help with rescues, and then your factions and gangs, they would rob boats, they would protect territory. It was a mess. So once everything finally, the water got down, we were able to go help. We cleaned, and then we took a few carloads of people from our church and helped them with their very first reopening service. And so that was a special moment together. We bought Bibles for most of them, not all of them, so that they could have Bibles again. Everything is destroyed. Everything was completely ruined. So here's, I'll give you an idea. The red is the flooding. So all the rivers come down to the lagoon down there, and Porto Alegre is right at it. So it just, once the rivers started coming, right, to the end there, it just, everything flooded, major. We did not experience it because we're the very top right there. So we're just outside. You can see it says Sapiranga right up there. The river ran south of us. So our city in itself wasn't, but Canoas is right in the heart of all the red there as you move towards. So that's why our airport was closed for, you know, 6 months or so. Everything was underwater. As we look forward for the next 3 years as a church, here's some of the prayer requests you guys can jot down and goals that we have. The first goal in the next 3 years is to bring on a full-time associate pastor who's paid by the church. We know how important it is for the church to be supporting their own pastor. As we prayed through it, we believe that God has called us to stay in Sapiranga, for me to stay as the lead pastor for now, and through Sapiranga Church, impact the whole region and help with other church plants and start other ones as necessary. And so we're praying for an associate pastor that can come alongside. My dad will be retiring in 3 years, so that's, we kind of have a timeline on this. So we're praying that God will be raising someone up for that. Number two, train up a pastor to help with another church plant in our region. So like I mentioned, of the two, Undesol and Leo, Leo seems to have that church planting heart and the abilities for that. And he has already preached in at least three of those different church plants helping. And so if that's God's will, then we want to have an open hand. And that way God can put in and he can take out, right? And so trusting God with that, and if we can help as a church, send him out and prepare him and work with him, I think that would be wonderful. Number three is purchase land and begin building. I know we just did this in 2021. We never imagined that God would grow the church the way he did, and I think that's my lack of faith. So just maybe tuck that away. You don't have to be a giant of the faith if you're a missionary. But God has shown that he really wants to do more than I ever thought I would be able to be a part of. And so we're running out of space. We don't have room for all the children's classes. Our auditorium is built for 120 people. Our average has been 100. When we have a special event, we get over 120. And Awana is a, it's a tight space for 35 kids. Our parking, we have two parking spots. So we generously take up the whole neighborhood with our parking. And so God has led us to a property in our neighborhood right in the middle there. And we have made a down payment on it by faith, and we are looking to raise the last $50,000 to purchase the whole thing. And so we ask that you be praying for that. We'd like to have a multi-purpose building for Awana for sports outreach and other activities. We'd like classroom space for the Bible Institute and also Sunday school rooms and counseling and different things. And then an auditorium that will fit everyone so we don't have to have multiple services, and parking. We'd like to have some parking if possible. The last two requests there, pray for another missionary couple to take Mark's parents' place who are retiring. And we have someone in mind, and I think God's working in that direction already. We're really excited to be talking with them this furlough, and so we can be praying. It's someone who studied at the Master's Seminary with me and who also has a doctorate in biblical counseling, so it'll be someone who will be very helpful together with his wife. As the church grows, the amount of counseling seems to grow even more, and so most of my time ends up being spent and invested in the lives of these people that God is bringing. And number five, we'd love to begin hosting Bible conference or some kind of training for our region. It is just not in the culture yet. And so we've tried different ways, and we've tried different conferences, and we'll have maybe 40 people come from the whole region, and 20 of them are from our church. So we're trying really hard to create that culture. I don't know if it comes from the Catholicism or Lutheran, where only the clergy study the Word of God, and the lay people, it's not for you. And so we're trying to break that. I think some of that's actually in the Assemblies of God churches as well, where you just depend on the leaders, the pastors, the deacons. They're the experts, and the people don't need to be in the Word. And so we're trying to change the culture in that way and in our region, and I think conferences will be really helpful for that. I can't see what time it is, guys. Can someone tell me what time it is? 10:14. Okay, good. Okay, the last two ministries that we are involved in, the church plan is our main focus. That's where most of my time goes, together with my family. But we also have our local, it's called a seminary, but really it's the level of a Bible Institute. And that is a partnership of the missionaries and pastors in our area. And so we work really hard to be preparing future leaders and servants. And so those two men were our last graduating class, and it's been fun to work with them. And then our current class, we got 12, and we have two people auditing. We have girls as well, women as well. Like I said, it's a Bible Institute, and so we're trying to prepare Sunday school teachers, anyone who's willing. We're trying to invest in their lives. And so we are looking forward to this group and seeing what God will do through their lives. We're trying to actually take them on a missions trip this time, the whole group, and make it a bonding experience as students, and also a way to continue investing in our whole area. The next 3 years, my goal is to continue encouraging the members of our church, so as they finish the BTI like you guys have, then they would go on to the seminary. I also would like to get back to preaching in the various churches in our area, and through that be able to encourage people to come and study the Word of God. Number three, I'd love to offer our current building for use for the seminary as well, and then help cultivate that culture of Bible conferences. So you can continue to pray. Our missionary intern, Lisa, she came from the Northeast, and there is a culture for Bible conferences. And so when I told her that we were going to have a Bible conference. She thought, oh, well, there'll be like 200 people. I said, oh, there'll probably be like 40, and half will be from our church. And that's what happened. And she was just shocked. It kind of like helped her understand that southern Brazil is just totally different. And it's not like the rest of Brazil, and we just have a long ways to go still in cultivating a culture of church people who love God and his word. The other ministry that we have is with our mission, Brazil Gospel Fellowship Mission. And so God has placed me on the executive committee. And so we meet out monthly, and we talk about how to help all the missionaries in Brazil, and we've expanded to Portugal and other Portuguese-speaking countries like Mozambique. And so that's been a big learning curve for me, being part of that group. I think I'm the youngest one on there, and learning how to think about missions, how to have a vision for what God's doing in all of Brazil and the world, and then how to encourage missionaries in that. So as a mission, 2023 was our national conference. That's all of the missionaries on the top. And then we alternate between national and regional. So on the bottom, that's our region, which would be from São Paulo down. So that's a lot, okay? So you're talking about like the middle of Brazil all the way down. That's considered the southern region or field. And I'm the regional coordinator for all those. But as you can see, the group is really big. And so this past year, we decided to split it in half, which I'm thankful for, because there's no way I could keep up with that many missionaries and church plant at the same time. So you can be praying. That's definitely a challenge for me. I think most of us missionaries are really hard-headed, and I think we have to be that way to survive. So trying to work with everyone and try to help everyone within their respective cities has definitely been stretching, but also a blessing to do. So as we look forward as a mission, I need to be visiting the missionaries in their respective fields, and so I haven't really done that, and I need to be trying to visit and see how they are doing and give them counsel and advice with the church plants that they have, be more intentional in assisting them. And then the director of our mission asked if we would do some kind of leadership conference, almost like a shepherd's conference at some point. So I think he must have a bigger vision for our church than I do as well. So as God blesses and grows, and if we get the bigger property and bigger space, then I think we could be hosting something on a more national level and see what God does. Who knows, maybe bringing Christians to the south and letting them see what God is doing and how we can all be helping. So I close off here. I wanted to finish with this verse of Psalm 90, verse 17. And tonight I'll be preaching all of Psalm 90. But let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. You think about ministry, who are we to be a part of it, to do what God has? And we understand that it's only because of his grace, right? His favor, his grace has to be upon us, or nothing will happen. And yet when his grace and favor is upon us, then he takes our feeble hands and he confirms the work of our feeble hands, and he does it for his glory. And he does what he wants to do, and he writes his story through our lives, and he takes our transitory, short little lives, and he makes an eternal impact for his glory. And so as you think of us and as you pray for us, our greatest request is that God's favor would be upon us, that his grace would be upon us. And as I think upon God's grace, I want to thank, and I want to thank you and understand that an abundant portion of God's favor has been poured out upon us through your faithful prayers, support, help, and encouragement. You have been the means of God's favor, and we understand that we would never be able to do any of this alone. That it is God working through you and others, and pouring out his favor by means of you guys, that we get to rejoice this morning together with how God is building his church and establishing it for his glory. Amen? What do I do now? I pray? All right. Let's pray then. God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. We're thankful for the gospel. The gospel makes everything possible. I've seen the gospel break down so many walls, barriers, break hearts. I've seen the gospel transform lives, marriages, families. And to think that we have the treasure of the gospel and we get to proclaim it to all people. And then we get to watch your Holy Spirit apply the gospel to the lives of each one. And so we praise you. We thank you for that privilege. And God, we ask that your favor would continue to be upon us. We are dependent upon your grace every moment of every day. And so we ask that you would continue to do your good work through us for your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We do have prayer cards if you guys want updated picture and prayer card. And on the back, you can have information of contact, whether that's email, support, or Instagram, Facebook. And then there's a QR code that will send us to the link for our newsletter. We send that out on a monthly basis. And the secret to our newsletter is the praises are saying everything that happened last month. Prayer is everything that's going to happen this month. And so if you just follow along on the praises and prayers, you'll have a really good idea of how God is answering your prayers, specifically. That was Portuguese. Specifically. And you can be following along that way.